Welcome to the Grace Fellowship Church of East Toronto Sermon Podcast. For more information on our church, visit gfceast.ca. Now, let's prepare our hearts and minds to receive the Word as we present this week's sermon.
Hear what Holy Scripture says in Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water, so I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouth of liars will be stopped. This is the word of the Lord.
Would you pray once again with me? Father, thank you that in the quiet of our heart, as we look forward to the stage and look at each one another, God, we're grateful that we can, in a moment of faith, look up to you and believe that you gaze upon us and that we gaze back towards you. Thank you, Lord God, that you are with us and that you look over us. Help us in our time through the word to be attentive to your presence, to allow our hearts to be open before your divine power and grace. And would you serve and help our souls as each one of us need? In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. In a short break from the book of Romans, we've picked Psalm 63 to kind of prime us as we get ready for the week of prayer starting next week. Our theme for the week of prayer is satisfied in God. And Psalm 63 is going to help us to be able to understand more how we can be satisfied in God. It can be very hard to know how to feel when our souls are filled with troubles. You know the ones you're carrying even now. Unresolved conflicts, challenged family dynamics, issues with our health, regrets about the past, fears about the future. All of these and more weigh like a burden on our soul that makes the rest of everyday life that much harder. The more we wait in these troubles and try to live everyday life, we can be anxious, not knowing how to actually share how we are when people ask us. Like the simple question, how are you, has all of a sudden become a final exam that I didn't prepare for. And good Christians who know we should, can rejoice always and give thanks in all circumstances. Have convinced themselves that somehow, because I'm burdened and because I'm anxious with these troubles, I must be a bad Christian. Because I don't feel thankful and I don't feel joyful. Friend, if you feel burdened or anxious or guilty because of the many different troubles that every one of us can carry, Psalm 63 is for you. This psalm is a psalm of assurance. Assurance that joy can be found in times like this through worship. A troubled soul can still have joy in worship. Psalm 63 is going to help us in a variety of different ways. First, it's going to be able to contrast the troubles that we face and the way they make us feel with the joy that God does offer in our troubles. And if we're able to grasp this contrast between the troubles we face and the joy God offers, then David's psalm will show us an example of what to do when we're faced with these troubles. A troubled soul still can find true joy in worship. When we experience troubles, there's a variety of things at play. There's what's happening, but then there's also how we interpret what's happening, how we feel about what's happening. So when we read Psalm 63, let's ask the first question about King David's life. What's happening? Well, he tells us in the subscript, the first line, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. David had a palace in Jerusalem. So what was he doing wandering in the desert of the wilderness of Judah? It's most likely that when David wrote this psalm, it was around the events of 2 Samuel chapter 15. At that time, David's son Absalom had horribly betrayed him. Absalom tried to take the throne away from David after successfully turning the entire nation against his father. It's actually a lot more worse than you think. Absalom's actions, as malicious as they were partially an act of divine judgment against David. The consequence that God pronounced against him after David committed adultery and conspired for murder of the woman's husband. So now he's cast out. Failure that led to betrayal, that led to shame, that led to loneliness. And he looked around at the desert he found himself in, and he realized this external position, this place where I am, feels like the internal condition of my soul. Dry and parched, weary and faint. Do you know what that feels like? No matter how hard you work, or how much pleasure you try to satisfy yourself with, it never satiates your heart. You still go to bed fearful, wake up fretful, and wonder why any of it matters at all. But still, in this place, David writes a psalm of assurance. There are times where psalms of lament, where we pour out a holy complaint before God, is proper. But he, in this moment, has confidence that he can still have joy. Even if we're only facing a fraction of David's troubles, we can learn to experience David's joy. So let's get some realistic expectations then. In light of the troubles that we can face, what is the kind of joy that God offers? True joy is kind of a complex thing. You know, when we're younger, if you served in children's ministry, you would see how binary the emotional spectrum of children is. Happy? Sad. Happy? Good. Sad? Bad. The more you grow up and get into adolescence, it becomes a bit broader, but in that time of our life, it becomes a bit more chaotic. At least that's how I know me and my siblings put my parents through in our teen years. Hopefully, by the time we've reached adulthood, our emotional spectrum is broad but also tempered and mature. And what we feel is more than just happy and sad. It's also worry, despair, anxiety, grief, pride, anger, resentment, jealousy, envy, and sorrow. Yet even in the midst of this, David says we can have joy. Some Christians think that joy is an on-off switch. If I'm feeling any of these negative emotions, I can't have true joy. David describes joy in real two kind of qualities. It's not an exuberant, exhilarating thrill. Christian worship and true joy isn't chasing another novel feeling. Even as the Apostle Paul said, he could be sorrowful yet always rejoicing. Through the first few verses of Psalm 63, it looks like David describes joy as this contentment that is satisfying within him, but then also resounds out from him. The satisfaction that he can have in him, it's filling when he's empty, and it's pleasing when things are flavorless. Filling, yes, he feels dry, he feels parched, but there's a contentment that can quench his spiritual thirst, even if it's just for a moment. He feels weary and he feels faint, but in that emptiness, he can be filled up with strength, even if just for a moment. The true joy God offers in the midst of our troubles is filling, but it's also pleasing. He describes what he can experience as being satisfied, verse 5, with rich and fat foods. Christian, you don't need to think that the joy and contentment God offers is just basic, tasteless, spiritual calories. It can please. It can enrich, even if it's through tears. Pleasing and filling. Joy. But the joy we can have in God that is satisfying in us doesn't just end for our sake. It resounds out from us. David regularly says how it's expressed. My lips will praise you. I will bless you as long as I live. This is what joy can look like, Christian, even in the midst of our troubles. A troubled soul still can find true joy in worship. A satisfaction that is filling, pleasing, and resounding in praise to God. It doesn't end with us. It ends in worship because our true joy isn't in an experience. It's found in a person. See, stripped of his glory and cast out in the desert, David had nothing. But he still had enough because he still had God. He looked up and saw God's power, God's glory, and God's love. What God offers for us so that we can have joy isn't just relief from our circumstances. What God offers is himself. The power of God that can enact his will for your good when you feel like everything's out of your control. The glory of God, the beauty of his perfections that exceeds any kind of fame or majesty or honor on earth. The love of God that looks at you in all of your troubles, betrayal, shame, loneliness, failure, and still gazes on you with tender affection and loyal faithfulness, and is near even when you're brokenhearted. The satisfying and resounding joy that God offers is God himself. What's incumbent on us, like David, in those moments when we feel most dry, most weary, most parched, is that we take all that we have, all the bitterness and resentment, all the worry and the fear. See, there's what's happening, and there's what we feel about what's happening, but then there's what we do with how we feel. And David carried all of this up, and he brought it to God himself. And that, for some of us, can spark another emotion. One of fear. When I get to sit down one-to-one and help people navigate through the various troubles that they're thinking through, and I've listened as much as they've could, and they've shared as much as they can think, there's usually some kind of question that I try to ask people at that moment. Something like, have you been as honest with God in prayer as you've been honest with me in this moment now? You can probably imagine how most people respond. It's like me. The answer often is no. Because when we feel all of these things in all of our troubles, for many of us, it's easier just to try and fix it myself. Try and power through like nothing's actually happening. But Christian, if you feel burdened or anxious or guilty, and it feels like joy is continually out of reach, yet you're reluctant to bring your burdens to God, then I urge you to draw near to God today. Don't avoid, don't delay. A troubled soul can find true joy in worship. That joy is a complex thing filled with sorrows and contentment that's filling and pleasing, but we will not have it if we cannot look up to our Lord. And many of us struggle to do so because we don't know what kind of eyes will look back. I urge you to draw near, believing that your Lord knows what you're suffering through and knows how to help. Christ knows. We see a complex paradox of joy, not just in David's suffering, but in Christ's suffering. Isaiah 53 verse 3 says that Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He knows. He was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. He sympathizes and he's able to help. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, the Lord looks to those who are burdened and anxious and guilty. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you can find rest for your souls. Trust Christ's heart for you and draw near to him despite how you feel. Your prayer may feel dull, uninspired, muted, unimpressive. It does not matter. True joy that is pleasing and filling can satisfy within you and resound out from you if we will draw near to God. I'm trying to convince us, to persuade you to see. Troubles are hard, but joy is available. Draw near. So then, how? If we believe that true joy is available, even through our troubles, how can we draw near? David now, in his assurance psalm, shows us the example of what to do. Three actions David takes to draw near to God and find joy even through his trouble. Let's read verse 1-4 together. He says, oh God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your steadfast love, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I lift up my hands. Can you feel the urgency in David's writing? Urgently, earnestly, David seeks God's face. This is what we must do if we're going to find joy through our troubles. Draw near and seek God's face. David earnestly sought God because of what he thought about God. Verse 1, he simply says, oh God, you are my God. Can you say that about the unseen, invisible, eternal, and immortal supreme being, that he is your God? When we're attached to people, we have a desire for those people. It's fun to be together with this group because they are my friends. It's thrilling to watch a victory because that's my team. It's relieving to walk through the front door because this is my home. Oh God, you are my God. David sought God because he knew he was his own God, even though out in the wilderness, he was far from God. The wilderness was not the place of joyous worship. Worship Central was the sanctuary in Jerusalem, and he was far from God, but he still knew, you are my God. My circumstances have changed, but my relationship with you has not. Friend, if you are in Christ, the Lord is your God. Are you enjoying him as a near friend, or are you avoiding him like a distant stranger? There are times in my life where I know I'm far from God and I don't turn to him. I try and move around in my own strength. But David chose to lift the gaze of his soul towards God, believing he could be satisfied in him. We are not cast iron, stainless steel. We're weak people. We have moments when we forget, and we have times when we're vulnerable. But I think David knew this. He was resolved that he would seek God's face, and he was determined, though, that he would stand firm and be watchful in those moments when he was most vulnerable and when he was most weak. A troubled soul still can find true joy in worship when we seek God's face and when we remember God's comfort. When we discipline ourselves to remember God's comfort at our most weak and vulnerable moments. Look at verse 5. My soul will be satisfied as with rich, fat and rich food. My mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. The vulnerable moment that David recognizes was the nighttime. When we're troubled, going to bed can be terrifying, can't it? The bright sun is gone, and we're left alone to toss and turn in our own dark thoughts. Do you know what this is like? I remember seasons like this in my own life, staying up later than I needed to because I dreaded the next day coming. Waking up in cold sweats and frets at night because my fears at the daytime still haunted me while I slept. The watch that David is talking about in verse 6, that he remembered him on his bed and meditated on him in the watches of his night. The watch that David's talking about is a military shift. A patrol where soldiers would be positioned on the city walls at 2, 3 a.m. And it was their job, when every instinct in them said just go to sleep, to stay attentive and keep on guard because intruders could come. David was deliberate to remember God's comfort. He remembered that God had been his help in the past. He remembered that God was strong to help him, because this isn't the first time David was cast out into the wilderness. His son had betrayed him. Previously, it was his father-in-law. He remembered that God was a helper who could prove his strength again. He remembered that God had showed him compassion before, like a mother bird that shelters her hatchlings. God could be compassionate to him again. If you know, friend, there are vulnerable moments when you are weakest to sorrows, to doubts, and to fears, those are the times that we need to learn to train ourselves to remember God's comfort, who he is and what he's done. Remember your salvation, that Christ has rescued you from sin and death. Remember your baptism, that you stood assured, confessing your true love for Christ. Remember answered prayer. Remember assurances and promises of Scripture. Remember what God has done in the past, and it can strengthen you to be able to persevere in the present. A troubled soul can still find true joy in worship when it seeks God's face, when it remembers God's comfort, and when it perseveres hoping in God's justice. Because in the present, while we wait, maybe some of the hardest times of the troubles that we experience. It's hard to hold on because we don't know how long these troubles will last. We don't know if someone's going to apologize for the wrong they've done for us. We don't know how our bodies might be restored to health. We don't know when I'll be released from the bitterness that is continually souring my soul. A troubled soul can still find true worship, though, when we hope in God's justice, what God can do, could do, to bring relief for us now. Look at verse 9 to 11. David says, "But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of liars will be stopped." David prayed through the night, but woke up in the morning and he was still suffering. While David waited, he prayed that God would make things right in this current circumstances. Now, David, in verse 9 to 11, was able to make specific prayers based on specific promises that God had given to him. You might be wondering, how am I supposed to pray through the troubles that I'm experiencing now? Like David, we can make specific prayers based on the specific promises that God has made to us. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, the Lord specifically promised that he would give David rest from all his enemies. The Lord specifically promised that the throne of his kingdom will be established. But now, David's throne was threatened. Now, his enemies had risen up. So because God made specific promises, David made specific requests that the Lord would turn those people who had turned against him away. But we may not know how to be able to pray. We don't know if we're going to be able to find relief. We don't know what promises God has made for us in my circumstances. We don't know if our complicated family situation is going to be resolved, if we'll see the health of our family member restored, when or if that friendship will come back. So what specific kind of promises can we rely on to seek hope for God's justice and bring relief in our situation? I have a promise for you, though it may not be very pretty at first. Here's a promise, John 16, verse 33. In this world, you will have tribulation. Not a very happy promise, but a true one. In this world, you will have tribulation. Now, that's only the first part. Do you remember the second? In this world, you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Christian, this is your promise. I don't know how your circumstances will end up, but I know where Christ will bring things in the end. because of Christ's death, because of his triumphant resurrection, because he's been exalted and ascended to the right hand of the Father, because he has promised that he will come again to make all things new, Christian, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Pray fervently that God would bring relief in your circumstances, that he would change what's happening for the better, that it will not be as hard, that things will improve. Pray that God will intervene. Yet while you wait, persevere in the hope, knowing who you are in Christ. You are triumphant. You are a conqueror, even in your weakness and frailty. Your king stands victorious, and you stand with him. A troubled soul can still find true joy in worship, and this is how David found it. He sought God's face, he remembered God's comfort, and he hoped in God's justice. Even through complex and mixed emotions, he believed that he could truly find contentment, a satisfaction that was filling, that was pleasing, and that was resounding from him in praise of his God, because he knew that he was his God. And even if everything else was taken away, he still had the glory and power and love of God. If we believe that this experience is possible, that I can have this complex joy, yet I'm struggling to find it, how can we start today? It may look different for each of us, but God is calling all of us to be able to draw near. Let's pray. Father in heaven, in the midst of all the troubles that we face, we pray that you would be able to show us mercy. Help us in our weakness of faith and in the challenges of our doubts to be able to turn our attention to you and to be able to have hope. Thank you, Lord God, that you offer joy for us, even in times like this. So help us, Lord God, to be able to seek you, remember you, and hope in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Grace Fellowship Church of East Toronto Sermon Podcast. For more information about our church, visit us online at gfceast.ca. Also, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. That helps us share the word with others, and we greatly appreciate it. Once again, thanks for joining us, and we hope you'll tune back in for more sermons from Grace Fellowship Church of East Toronto. God bless, and take care.